Hello and welcome to All Things Apostolic. I'm your host, Casey Cease. In a previous episode on Monday, Dr. Wilson mentioned that some of us had just returned from Turkey. While in Turkey, we visited the seven churches of Asia hosted by Premier Bibleland Journey and Dr. Johnny King. On the first day that we were there, it was a free day. This free day helped with jet lag and getting acclimated and accustomed to the time difference from the United States to Turkey. While we were there, we stayed at a beautiful hotel in Izmir, which is the town of Smyrna in the New Testament. The hotel rooms at this particular location had a great view of the surrounding town and the Aegean Sea. The hotel was also connected to a large mall in which we had direct access to the mall. In addition to stores on multiple floors, the mall had a great coffee shop and a fantastic area for food. I entered the mall the one day when it first opened at 10 a.m. and it was packed, and on another day I went to the mall after we returned from one of the sites to grade papers and do some other work for the university, and the mall was packed until closing time at 10 p.m. At least for me, this was a little bit of a shock because it's much different than what I'm used to here in the United States, as malls typically aren't crowded anymore in the States. On the second day that we were in Turkey, we visited Smyrna and Pergamum. In relation to the two, Smyrna had much less excavated than what Pergamum did. But it was interesting to see old piping for water that was centuries old at Smyrna. This looked a lot like the piping we're used to seeing today, and it was just interesting to see that they had that form of technology available to them centuries ago. While we were there at Smyrna, we were also able to see the Acropolis and the Agora, which were beautiful sights, as you can see in these pictures here. Pergamum was a high site, and this site required something that resembled a ski lift in order to reach the top, as you can see here in the picture. While we were at Smyrna, we saw the Acropolis, which was situated on a high overlooking hill of the city. The Acropolis contained the theater of Pergamum, which was one of the steepest theaters of the ancient world, with breathtaking views of the valley, which you can also see in this picture here. The altar of Zeus was one of the most famous and monumental altars in the city. It originally stood here, although the main structure now resides in Berlin's Pergamum Museum. However, here at Pergamum, you can see the original site and the ruins, which hold a historical significance here. The Library of Pergamum was also one of the largest libraries of the ancient world, and it rivaled that of Alexandria. This library showcased the city's prominence as a cultural and intellectual center during this time frame. While mostly in ruin, visitors can explore its remains and imagine the academic life of ancient scholars that took place here. Also at Pergamum was the Temple of Dionysus, which was dedicated to the god of Dionysus here. The temple stands right next to the theater, and it offers a glimpse into the religious practices and festivities that were celebrated in ancient Pergamum. Lastly was the Esculon, which is down on the lower level. This was an ancient healing center dedicated to the god of medicine, and it was interesting to see some of the beliefs and practices that were associated with this particular city, and how the snake wrapping around that little scepter that we see now in some areas for medical practice was actually derived from this particular area. On the third day in Turkey, we visited the cities of Thyatira as well as Philadelphia. The ancient city of Thyatira is located near the modern town of Ashur in Turkey. The Agora was a marketplace that showcased the city's importance as a commercial center, known specifically for its craftsmanship and tradespeople. There were dyers, bronze workers, and textile workers. If you think back to the Book of Acts and Paul's companion, Lydia, who was a seller of purple, she was from Thyatira. We also were able to see the temple remains. Some of the columns and fragments of these temples have been excavated. Philadelphia was a rather small site. We weren't there for too long. You know, you could see the modern city that built up around it there. And so we were able to stop there and view some of this remains there at Philadelphia. We ended the day at the hotel. The hotel was nice. We had a good dinner served there at the hotel, and it ended with a roundtable discussion that included Dr. King, Dr. Wilson, Reverend Miles Young, Reverend Caleb Adams, and Reverend Nathaniel Urshan. They kind of recapped what took place over the last couple of days and offered some insights into what that means in the current day for apostolic believers. On the fourth day, we visited Colossae and Laodicea. But before we visited Colossae and Laodicea, some of us took a balloon ride in Denzili. For me, this was the first time I've ever been on a balloon ride. It was pretty magnificent. As you can see here, it was quite a beautiful view of the area, and you could see over into other areas. We were asking the guy that was flying the balloon, hey, where's this city at? Where's this located? And it was a pretty amazing time. After this, we went to Colossae, which is not one of the seven churches listed in the book of Revelation. However, it is in close proximity to them. As you can see here in the picture, excavation on Colossae has not yet begun. It's my understanding, based on what Dr. King and the tour guide had noted, that they are looking to begin excavation here at Colossae in the next year. While not a lot of excavation has taken place at Colossae over the past couple years, a lot has taken place at Laodicea. When we're at Laodicea, we were able to see the stadium. That there is a theater right here. The theater has seats approximately, I believe they said, 12,000 people, and it is very well preserved. In addition to the theater and the stadium, the aqueducts of Laodicea were well known for its advanced water systems, including aqueducts that transported water from nearby springs. Interestingly, Laodicea's water supply was lukewarm, and a fact that was referenced in the book of Revelation as a metaphor for the spirit, for the city's spiritual condition. And so here at Laodicea, you can also see one of the baptistries that were here that they used to baptize folks. Dr. King talked about this with Dr. Wilson, and it was a phenomenal time to see some of the ancient baptistries and stuff that took place. If you sign up for the archaeology certificate at Wilson University, you'll see a little bit more of these discussions of that took place at each of the ancient cities. On day six, we visited Ephesus. At Ephesus, you could see what they refer to as the Great Theater. This theater set up to 25,000 people. And one of the things that the tour guide talked to us about here was one of the ways that archaeologists are able to estimate the size of a city is based on the size of the theater. He noted that the theater typically sat 10% of the town's population of men and boys. And so this theater seating 25,000 lets us know that the city had a population of approximately 25,000 men, or 250,000 men, rather. And so at this point in history, Ephesus was a very large town if there were 250,000 that were just men. This theater is where the Apostle Paul would have preached to the Ephesians when he faced resistance from silversmiths who made idols for the temple of Artemis. And so historically for the Christian church, this is a dramatic setting where Paul's ministry spread to the early church. We see this in, I believe it's Acts chapter 19, verses 23 through 41. In addition to the Great Theater, you can see here the Library of Celsus, which is a stunning example of Roman architecture. The library here once held thousands of scrolls and was one of the largest libraries of the ancient world. This demonstrates the significance and the sophistication of Ephesus, which was a major learning center and a center of trade. Below the theater a little bit lower, you would see, I believe they referred to it as Harbor Street and Marble Road. This was the main street of Ephesus, which once had a bunch of traders and travelers from across the Roman Empire. And it leads from the harbor to the heart of the city. And so walking along the road gives visitors the feel of what the trade center was like back in Ephesus. And it was likely a route that the early Christians, including Paul, would have walked. Now, one of the things that was significant to me here at Ephesus is while the tour progressed, the individuals that were on the tour with us went to, I believe, one of the rug shops where they make Turkish rugs. Dr. King and myself, as well as Brother Jeremy Wilbanks, stayed back in the lower area where these shops would have been. And we stayed there for a couple hours. We recorded a couple extra videos for the archaeology degree. But after we finished recording these videos, we sat down and each of us, you know, grabbed our Bible or opened up an app on our phone that contained the Bible. And we began reading some of the letters that were either written to Ephesus or written at Ephesus. I began reading the book of Ephesians first. Then I read 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and I ended by reading the Gospel of John. You see, 1st John, 2nd John, 3rd John, and the Gospel of John would have been written by the Apostle John while he was there at Ephesus. And like one of the other nights, this night ended with another roundtable discussion. As you can see here in this picture, this roundtable discussion once again included from left to right, Reverend Nathaniel Urshan, Miles Young, Dr. Wilson, Dr. King, and Reverend Caleb Adams. On the sixth day, we visited Miletus and Sardis. Miletus, while not listed as one of the seven churches in the book of Revelation, it is where Paul gives his farewell address and warning regarding the influence of doctrine that was not derived from the apostles in Acts 20. After we left Miletus, we went to Sardis. At Sardis, there we went to the Temple of Artemis. This is a huge temple, as you can see in this picture. Again, it is dedicated to the goddess Artemis, and it gives us a reminder of the pagan influences and the challenges that the church faced at Sardis. Our time at Sardis ended with Dr. King teaching about the site and giving a little bit of the historical background. And Dr. Wilson ended with preaching the oneness of God and the new birth here in the middle of the Temple of Artemis. And the capstone of the night and the capstone of the entire trip was the Ephesus event. As you can see here, this was a truly amazing experience. And if you want to hear more about the Ephesus event, go back to Monday's episode where Dr. Wilson talked pretty extensively about the Ephesus event, and you can also go to the university's Instagram page, which contains footage that was live-streamed from the event. Thank you for joining me on this episode of All Things Apostolic. I hope you enjoyed the pictures and some of the stuff that I shared regarding the seven churches of Asia and the Ephesus event hosted by Bibleland Journey and Dr. Johnny King. God bless.